is Nicole Whitney, News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained.
News for the Soul is now in its 25th year of broadcasting. Tune in live or visit the archives at newsforthesoul.com. That's newsforthesoul.com.
News for the Soul phone lines are now open. Call in now for a free intuitive reading on the air. Dial 646-595-4274. That's 646-595-4274.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.
And the next show is Soul Awakening with Chrissy and Tara, and they're both here on the line. So let's bring them on to reintroduce themselves, their show, and what's up for today. Welcome back, guys.
Hi, thank you, Nicole. And welcome back, everyone, to Soul Awakening. I'm Chrissy. I'm a psychic medium, and my sessions blend intuitive guidance and life coaching. Sessions here on the show are short and sweet. To get the most out of these mini sessions for everyone, plan to just ask like one or two specific questions so I can get right to the point. Booking a full session with me, however, gets you a full hour of one-on-one personalized guidance, and that way we can dig deep. But more on that later. So for the first part of our show, we'll continue the topic from the last couple of shows on ego mind and the present moment with our special guest, Tara. Then I'll open up the lines and welcome questions from our listeners. So hold tight and think up some good questions for me. Tara is an acupuncture physician, and she's an energy healer. She's also a retired massage therapist. She's been teaching in the fields of massage and Chinese medicine for over 10 years. She's had extensive training with a world-class leadership program and has had initiation into Usui Reiki and a true ancient mystery school. She's here today to share a conversation meant to stimulate personal empowerment from listeners. She also so happens to be my lovely wife. So I'm going to hand the show over to her.
Thank you. And thank you for having me back. Hold on. All right. Thank you so much. Thanks for waiting just a moment there while we manage things on our end. So in the last two episodes of the show, I have spoken on the ego mind and the present moment. Today, I'll continue along that vein of thought with a conversation about recognizing the ego. But first, I'd like to put a disclaimer that anything you hear on this show is not meant to replace the guidance of a licensed healthcare provider. If you're dealing with any condition or problem, whether physical, mental, or emotional, please seek care from the provider of your choice. And now on to the ego conversation. Let's discuss how to identify your ego. It's such an elusive character. It watches from the shadows and slips back in just when you think you've freed yourself from it. So many people have a spiritual awakening, and then they can observe the ego rather than being run by it. And as soon as you let it go, it sneaks back in. And since it's a master of deception, it reappears unexpectedly. It grabs hold of your thinking, and next thing you know, you're not in control anymore. And that's how the ego plays its game. Training yourself to recognize it is a route to gaining freedom from it. If you can't see the oppressor, how can you address it? But first, a quick and very important note on the ego. The thing that we call the ego is a human condition, and there's no way to permanently eliminate it from existence. As long as you're alive, your ego is alive. I think this is important to remember because some people seek to rid themselves of ego, thinking it's bad or in some way wrong. And if they successfully gain a temporary gap between themselves and ego, however long that gap lasts, they may feel bad when it returns, as if they failed. Or they may think, they may live thinking they got away from it, but it's there all the while. It isn't bad that ego is there or that you aren't permanently free It just is. It's part of being human. And I encourage you to embrace this reality and embrace your ego. Any efforts to rid yourself of it will lead to frustration because it's going to sneak back in. Instead, seek to recognize it. For in recognizing it, we illuminate its behavior, and thus it becomes easier and easier to see its actions. And illumination itself can often resolve issues. Simply put, illumination is just noticing. At its inception, which occurs in each of us at a very young age, possibly at birth, the ego brainwashes us, convincing us that something is wrong with us and something is missing from our life. On the level of individual, how that would be said is, there's something wrong with me and there's something missing from my life. I am not enough. And this becomes a perpetual state that we live in. Something's wrong and something's missing, always and ongoingly. The tricky part of this isn't true. It isn't true that something's missing or that something's wrong with anything, really. Nothing wrong with me, nothing wrong with you, nothing wrong with life. But it's the ego's job to create that. The ego's job is to create this so that we can experience separation from our creator and through that separation from one another. How else would we know what it's like to seek that which forms our existence? And that's what I believe the purpose of the ego is. Now, as we grow up, we mature, but we are only seeing life through eyes of the ego for the most part. I do recognize that there are moments that we experience our true nature, but the majority of a life is spent viewing experiences through the filter and reaction of the ego, all the while not knowing that we're viewing life through the lens of the ego. We just think it's the way life is. Since the ego's overarching perspective is that something's wrong and something's missing, we engage with life in a way that is an attempt to fix this idea of lack. So we set to working, trying to improve ourselves to make up for the things we think we are missing. And depending on the part of the world you're from and your family values, you will be taught to live life in a certain way. The things that gain approval will be different among different cultures, and the same goes for what gains disapproval. But here I will outline a few things that I hope will assist you in recognizing your ego. Competition and comparison. The ego is on alert at all times to compare itself to others in every imaginable way. When I say ego is on alert, I mean that within your mind there is a constant comparison or competition going on. It's subtle. It could be about your appearance, your physical capabilities, your mental capabilities, how you deal with emotions, how much money you make, what kind of mother or father you are, the kind of work you do, how clean your house is, what kind of car you drive, and on and on. The comparison could be of others as well, and based on the same criteria. Oh, look at her clothes. Look at that car they're driving. Look at how their kids behave. Oh, gosh, look at the way they parent. What a career to choose. Wonder how much money they make, and so on and so forth. And what makes it ego and not just a thought or an observation? Couldn't I just have a thought or an observation? Well, when there's an attachment to the way something should be, you can be assured that ego is participating. You can certainly have an observation and not be attached and not judge it. Judging is simply comparing. And then where does the measure for the way something should be come from? What are we measuring ourselves and others against? There's no source for us to look it up and see where these measures came from, but these ideas for what we should measure up to had to come from somewhere. So in order to figure this out, we each have to look into our own lives and just wonder, where did the idea for your ideal weight come from? Where did the criteria for what your hair should look like come from? Where did the principles for how you'll raise your children come from? Where did the idea of what kind of work you should do come from? When we can find the source of our principles and values, we can decide if what we've been holding on to as guidance in life is really our own. I can tell you from experience that the majority of what we hold as guidelines for life didn't come from our own mind. We adopted it from someone else. Here's the catch. They adopted it from someone else. And they adopted it from someone else. And it's just been handed down. Our entire lives were shown what we should think is good or bad or right or wrong, what we should do, what we shouldn't do, what we should like, what we shouldn't like, what we like and don't like, from childhood until we die or awaken to it. On a daily basis, we're shown what we should value, what we should accept or push away. And I'll just refer to these as our principles and values. It begins with being taught the family's values, likes and dislikes, right from wrong, what's good, what's bad. And some teachings stand out as teaching. For example, within a family that's religious, the value would be based on that religion. Those types of guidelines would stand out to you looking, you know, I mean, it's like looking back at your childhood and what you were taught. You would look back and say, yes, I was taught these values, and you can see that they came from the religious values, such as, you know, being kind to others, for example. But other principles and values can be unspoken or subtly communicated, leaving it very blurry about what the value or the principle should be. And I'll have a couple of examples here. They're very simple, but they'll help you to grasp what I'm trying to communicate. So in the first example, I'll use clothing. A family has a dress code, whether we say it or not. We have a dress code within families. What are the children allowed to wear? How should we address to this or that? So there is a dress code, even if it's not spoken. And that's where this unspoken value and principle comes in. So let me give an example of a 13-year-old daughter. She's getting dressed for an event, an occasion that is both family and her social group, her friends. As she's getting dressed, she puts on a skirt she thinks will pass inspection. This is a go. And she puts on a shirt that might not be. But she won't know unless she makes the attempt. So she gets dressed and heads out to the main area, hoping her parents will say, yes, you can wear that. And they'll approve or they won't, but she won't know for sure until they see the outfit. And this is where principles and values are uncertain or not yet clarified. We don't need to know in this example which way it went. The point is that she has to try something and see the reaction to know where the principles and values land. Another example of a subtly communicated principle that leaves things blurry could go something like this. You're riding in a car with your parent, and as you pass a group of kids who are dressed in a way your parent doesn't approve of, your parent says, "You don't want to look like those kids." There's no explanation of what your parent means by this. You can only assume it's the clothing, maybe their hair, but there you go. You have been delivered a principle, a guideline for life, what's acceptable, what's not, and it's very unclear. What were some of the principles and values that came from your family? Some may stand out, and others may be very subtle. Can you remember any that were just understood and not spoken? Perhaps your parent gave a disapproving look instead of using words, or perhaps their tone told you how they really felt. You created some of your own values and principles to live by as well. Some were based on family experiences, some based on other experiences. People who grew up in unhealthy households almost certainly created some of their own values and principles. They likely created values based on what they saw that they did not want to adopt. They went the opposite of what they were shown. And then let's move on to another source where we might find some of our principles and values were created. School, of course. And, you know, some curriculum might imply principles, but I'm pointing more to the social approval, the comparison and competition that happens in social groups. When I was young, I sought the approval of teachers and parents. I was avoiding being in trouble with adults. That's what I was really doing. But I sought to follow the rules to avoid getting in trouble. So my principles and values were to align with that, but the purpose behind it was to just stay out of trouble. And then there's social groups. Once we reach middle and high school, these get a lot more important to us. When I was in high school, there were lots of social groups, the jocks, the preps, the grunge, the cheerleaders, the smart kids. The labels seemed endless. And some groups went unlabeled. At least I think they did. And you had to fit a certain way to fit into one of those groups. You also had to have certain interests, maybe even certain talents. And they were criteria to fit in. They were unspoken criteria, but they were there. Not like an official club or anything. You just had to, if you were grunge, you had to dress grunge. And this was all based on comparisons. And this can carry over to the workplace. The social groups at a job might be different than those in high school, but they still exist. What are the criteria to fit in with the social groups at your workplace? It's probably less based on clothes and more based on interest and personality. Did you fit in when you were in school? Did you want to fit in? Was there criteria for these groups that you refused to meet? And all this time, from childhood right up until this very moment, there are other ideals and principles being shown to us, influencing us. And for the most part, we don't even know what's happening. At church, we're taught the values of a religion. Did we follow them the right way or enough? At work, we're taught the values of the workplace. Did we do them well enough? And within the culture of a workplace, we learn their values and principles. Are we embodying these the right way to be acceptable? It might seem strange to ask these questions out loud, but this is what's happening in the mind almost constantly. The ego is constantly measuring up, looking for the gap between itself and perfection. The problem is, with the ego, there's always a gap. Whatever it is, it's never enough. You can never be good enough to fill the ego gap. You can never be smart enough, funny enough, and beautiful enough. You can't make enough money. It's impossible. The ego is the void. It creates the missing, the lack. So the only way out of the ego's trap is to notice the ego when it's at play. So now what? We've talked about the power of noticing the ego. Seeing it is illumination. We said illumination is just noticing it. We've talked about how it's always in competition and comparing you to a variety of values and principles. We've said that these values and principles that you're sizing yourself up to aren't even your own. What can you do with all this? Begin to notice your thoughts when you're going through your day. For example, choosing your clothes. Why did you choose that outfit today? Why did you choose the clothes that you chose for your work clothes? And especially when you're going someplace that's out of your norm, ask, why did I choose this outfit? What do I like about it? What criteria am I meeting for why I like it come from some value I hold? Where'd that value come from? Why did I do my hair this way? Some people have always wanted to try a particular hairstyle or color, but just couldn't bring themselves to do it. After some self-discovery into this aspect of ego, they find they've never tried a wild hair color because of a statement made when they were young. Someone said, you look better as a brunette, and they never tried red again, even though they love red hair. And the discovery of a memory like this is so freeing. So you can begin to ponder some of the choices you've made in life. Why did I choose this job or career? Was it of my own desires? Or did I choose based on a value or a principle that I was taught? Do I agree with this value now that I'm older? Sometimes we'll find that even though we didn't like the source of a value or a principle, we align with that value or principle. And sometimes when we discover where a value or principle came from, we actually don't align with it anymore. Time to move on. The key is to simply bring wonder to your life. Wonder about your actions and inaction. Wonder about your values. Why do you hold a particular value of importance? You might discover that some of your principles are not your own. You may still agree with them or you may not. But until you do some introspection, you will never know. Once again, thank you for having me on the show. May you all be blessed with good fortune, peace, and love. Back to Chrissy.
Hello. So this is the part of the show where I'd love and invite for you guys to call in, and I'll answer questions for you. Nicole, is anyone waiting on the line? So those of you listening, just give us a minute, and Nicole will get to you in just a moment. We What are some questions that you think people might have about ego? People still listening.
I think some people probably feel that they've done a lot of work on ego and come to notice it, and then might feel like they've kind of gotten free of it. And then there's kind of an illusion with ego that you can get free of it, but it never really leaves, you know, and that's what I was talking about today, that the ego is always there. Even Gandhi, you know, who did a lot of work and obviously freed himself to a great degree, still, there's a video of him where he received terrible news about people that he was standing for. He was meditating and just, he had a flat affect. Somebody whispered in his ear, and for a moment his expression changed, and then he went back to his meditative state. So just, that's a demonstration of like getting, even being that enlightened, that advanced, the ego is still there and reacts to some degree. It doesn't mean that it lingers and stays with a person. As we work on ourselves and we free ourselves from it, there are still moments and there's still more to work on, still more to go and more to do. And that's not meant to sound like a burden, but just to continue to have that awareness of, you know, the mind is always there and it's always creating that gap, that missing, that something's wrong. And as we can get free of that overall grasp, you know, in the book, The Power of Now by Eckhart Tolle, that's one of the greatest things that he demonstrates in that book, is like that when people are living in the grasp of the ego, they don't even know that it's there. They don't even know that it is affecting them. And the moment a person gets free of that, that's a massive freedom. That's huge. The ego's still there. It's still at play. But it's not, the person is no longer living with that mask on, that facade. They recognize now that, hey, there's this other part of me. And that moment of recognition is extremely powerful. And when we can see the space between ourselves and ego and that, hey, there's this other part of me that likes to take over and win arguments and, you know, be mad when I get cut off in traffic or get frustrated or feel like a failure, all of that is ego, all of that. But when we can get that, like, hey, that's not who I really am, now there's some freedom there.
Yeah, I think that really helped me, and I think because we've been talking about this whole segment for the last couple of months, is like trying to interpret the ego as like the human part of us, whereas I find that other inner voice that's like uplifting and freeing, and that's like the one that can observe the ego is our higher self, and I feel like that's our true self, and I feel like the ego is what we deal with here on the earth plane because that's kind of what gives us variety and choice. And I feel like if it wasn't just the higher self, like there wouldn't be the variety and spice of life in general. Like we wouldn't get to experience all that there is to experience on this earth plane if it was all just wonderful all the time, because then what are we learning, right? So,
let me just check and see if anyone's on the line.
Okay, I'm back on. Can you guys hear me now?
I can, yes. Thank you.
Oh, thank goodness. That's like I went into another dimension there. 25 years, I've never seen that one before. Okay, are you ready for some calls?
I am, yeah. So we can discuss ego. If you guys have extra questions regarding that, we can answer questions or connect to somebody on the other side. So just let me know if you call in.
Some people wanting readings, so let's start there. We're going to 610 first. 610, you're up. It's you. What's your first name? Where are you calling from?
Oh, thank you. My first name is Tonette. I am calling from Philadelphia, PA.
Hi, Tonette. How you doing?
Good.
How can I help you this evening.
This is the first time,
right?
I'm calling in and connecting with you. Thank you for doing this reading. I really appreciate that.
Oh, you're welcome.
I am calling because I need to know what's going to go on here with my relationship with Christine. I'm in a same-sex relationship with another female. Her name's Christine. Right now, she's not really talking much to me, but, you know, she gave me a ring. We were talking about moving in together, so I don't know when this is going to get resolved here.
The first thing that came up when you mentioned you don't know what's going on, like the very first mention of her, it was that she is surrounded by like this fear. So I feel like fear is what's ruling her right now.
Mm-hmm.
She's definitely got some abandonment issues going on. So I feel like the more serious it gets, the more fear she's having around everything.
Okay.
And I don't think it's even like, it's not like she's like super aware that it's fear that's driving her. She's just in her head a lot, if that makes sense.
Yes, she is. Yes, she is.
Yeah. And so she's like spinning on a loop instead of reaching out for help or actually talking to you. She's just kind of hiding out. And that's what she's doing right now. And it's not a reflection of you or your relationship. It's her own fear and feelings of like inadequacy, you know, like she doesn't feel good enough and you treat her really well. And that's a little scary for her. She doesn't really know what to do with that. And when you tell her that you're all in, that's scary.
Right. Do you know when she's going to come forward and want to talk?
I think just really gently invite her to have a conversation with you, because the only way it's going to get resolved is by speaking to one another and letting her know, like, I get that you might be scared. And, you know, I am too. And this is what I'm worried about. You know, I'm worried about us moving in and then, you know, things not working out or something. But I really feel if we have really good open communication, we can really make this work. And there's not really a whole lot to be scared of as long as we're being honest and truthful with one another with where we are right now. So
right.
I get that you're scared. And can we talk about that?
Well, she
and
lives
maybe naming
right
it for her will actually help her get clear about it.
Yeah, she lives right across the parking lot from me. She sees me, but she just keeps going in her car. She doesn't make any effort. So
just give her a little bit of space. I really do think she'll come around. And what you guys need to have is like a heart-to-heart conversation. But I get the biggest thing is fear.
Yeah,
I know you're over
I
there like wondering what you did wrong.
Well, yeah, she just, and, you know, she backed away right after she gave me her deceased mother's sapphire ring. And then next thing you know, she ran away.
Yeah, because it got real for her. Like, I can't believe I just did that. I must be crazy. I don't even know. And, you know, so she's just doing all that right now.
She texted me this, and she was like, you didn't deserve the ring. I don't want you. I was like, oh, my God, what is wrong?
She's freaking out because she's had not great past experiences.
Oh, I know that.
Yeah.
So should I just go about my business and she'll come forward? Like, just let her
yeah,
be.
Yeah, stay open. Don't just cut her off and don't give her that same energy back. Just stay loving. Stay in a place of peace. And stay in a place of, like, I know it's going to work out and she's going to be okay. And let her know, if you need to come get this ring, baby, I'm right here. You can have it back and you can give it back to me if you want to later, or you don't have to. Like,
I texted her
know.
That a couple weeks ago. I said, listen, I'll give the ring back. I'll give the jewelry back. Whatever you,
yeah.
Let me know what you want to do. No response. So she didn't.
She's not sure either. She gave it to you because she wanted to, and now she's dealing with, like, this just made it so much more real, right? So she's just dealing with herself, and if you can just get that and just stay in that, it'll give you a lot more peace of mind around it. Like, oh, you know what? She's just dealing with something, and I love her enough to give her this space and this privacy to kind of go through that, and I'm going to be right there when she needs to talk. And she will. She'll come back.
Right. She was the one that mentioned about living together, too. I didn't bring any of this up.
Yeah. So, I mean, live your life. Do you. Like, you got good friends. You've got good support.
Yeah.
And I think that's another thing that she really likes about you. Like, you do have your own life, and you do, you know, you're not, like, clingy, you know? So don't freak out. Don't get clingy, you know? Like, give her her space,
no.
And she will. She'll
right.
come and talk to you. Yeah.
Okay.
So Yeah, you're going to be okay. You didn't do anything wrong.
Okay, well, thank you.
This is just your fear response. Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you for calling.
Oh, have a great day. Bye-bye.
You too.
All right, let's go next to one of the old ones. So we don't know where you're calling in from, but one of you is now live. What's your first name? Where are you calling in from?
Hi, my name is Melissa from Colorado.
Melissa.
Hi, Melissa.
From Colorado.
Hey, ma'am. I did hear about the ego. I think it's very interesting. I have read about it, but I kind of have a question about myself. Is that okay?
Of course, yeah.
And I'm a big fan of the program. I'm listening for years. Thank you for 25 years program. But my question to you is, and I'm not sure you're able to tune in. I'm well, not too offend. So I have a male friend, and another person, like it's a business lady, and I don't know why we have arguments, but it's nice ones. It's not like nothing bad, but I'd like to know, do you still see this being like a friendship and time to come, and or does this happen because he in the long run he's gonna break away from that where he has to go in like a business/friendship on the other side?
All right, I'm gonna have you ask me that one more time so I can get clear on your question.
Yeah, so thank you so much. I have a male friend that over near, and so he's been personal with me, but there's like a business partner lady that he has, and I'm not sure he plans later on to leave that because a lot of times in the past he expressed himself about him wanting to end that. But today we had a conversation. It was a different approach, and I guess looking at the future. I want to see if what happens between us, like me and the other lady and him, like what happens? Do you see what happens in the forecast? How much? There we go.
All right.
Is it confusing? Like, does. The question is, do you see my male friend, is he going to stay with that business friendship female?
Yeah, I get it.
Thank you. I'm sorry.
I feel like it's temporary, but it's not like, like you and your guy friend are going to be friends for a lot longer than this other lady. I see that kind of coming to an end, but it's going to be like quite some time before that happens, but it will end eventually. Right now it's comfortable and it's known, and that's kind of why it's kind of stalling and not really going anywhere. It's not going up or down. It's just kind of fading, and it'll continue to kind of fade because it's just what's known, you can say. It's just like what's comfortable and known, and they're used to having this business relationship, right? But I don't feel like it's any more than that, if you also wanted to know about that. Like, I don't think it's romantic in any way.
Okay. Yeah.
But I do feel like you're going to be friends with the guy, like, for years to come. Like, that's not going to diminish, especially even because of this other lady.
Oh.
Does that make
sense? So he ends with that later on?
Yeah, it's not going to happen, like, tomorrow or anything, but I do see it. It's slowly fades away.
So,
and it's literally out of just, like, muscle memory, kind of. Like, it's just easy, it's comfortable, it's, like, you don't have to think hard about it, you don't have to take a lot of actions around it, and that's kind of why. It'll just kind of fade out, though.
That's true. Like you were saying, I know one more question, like, with me, does he have, like, interest in me?
I'd say yes, definitely.
Well, that's good. That's good. Well, that's good news.
And I, yeah. If you don't mind,
no, go ahead.
Is he right now? Is he planning right now to break away in a slowly manner? Or when do you see that happen?
I think it's just kind of naturally happen. Yeah, it's gonna kind of naturally happen, and it's not something he's gonna like. It's not going to be like cut and dry, like, okay, bye. He just doesn't operate that way. He feels like if he does that, it can cut, like, burn bridges and stuff. So he's just kind of like letting it kind of fade away.
Oh.
So he's not taking any action to end it. And he's also not taking any action to like forward it very much. He's just kind of leaving it be, and it's going to kind of fade on its own over time, if that makes sense.
Oh,
so
okay.
It's temporary in the scheme of things, but it's not, he's not someone who's going to just cut her off. He's just not going to. That's not his personality. She hasn't really done anything to warrant him to do that, right? So, like, it'll kind of just, like, organically kind of go away.
Okay. So she'll be the one to say, I don't want this no more, like him.
Yeah, she'd definitely be more likely to be like, oh, I'm on to different things. But until he gets passionate about something else, he's not going to just cut the other relationship off. Does that make sense? Like, he has to be passionate about something in order to, like, have him be motivated in that direction. But because they hold each other's hands, like, business-wise, that's kind of who they are for each other.
And with me, like, do you see with me, like, he's still gonna, she's my friend, but at the same time, he looks at me in another way?
I do think that, yes. And I think you're both, like, kind of scared to have it go any other way, like, more than friendship, because you have a good friendship. And you guys are both worried about it compromising that.
And one more thing.
But if you were to make the first move, he would be like, yes.
Oh, like the physical part.
Yes.
Oh, that's good news. Well, excuse me. Sorry. Yeah, because you're a woman.
No.
So, because if you don't mind the last thing, when do you see, like, him and I see each other again? Like, see each other? Like, do you see it happening this year? Because we're pretty far from each other, from pretty far.
I think you guys can make that happen. It would really just take you guys initiating it. That's the only thing that's kept you guys from doing it, is, like, no one's actually taken serious steps to meet, you know, like, in a while. If you were to actually plan it out with him, he would actively plan with you.
To go see him?
Say it again?
To go see him?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. So that's good. So I think that I am the next chapter in his life.
You could definitely be the next chapter. He would totally be welcome to that.
Oh, wow. That's pretty awesome. That's pretty good news. Pretty good news. I'll keep it like that. That's right, like a friend. Yeah, anyway, is there any last messages you want to tell me?
The energy around you guys is, like, very light and playful, and I think that's a good thing. So it doesn't feel heavy or anything. I think you guys would really complement each other in a romantic relationship.
And, ma'am, before the end of the year, you see it changing?
Yeah, but you would be the first one. You would be the one that has to make, like, the first move.
You know what? Real quickly, I kind of tried, but then he changes his mood. Does he do it so she won't pick up the signal?
Oh, it should be, like, not around her, because that's uncomfortable.
Oh, I got it. Because he don't see her that way.
Right.
Got it. Well, I will continue to show. I'm a big fan here. I've been for a long time. Thank you very much for your time.
I
enjoy the ego. I'm going to hear it again after the show or when it comes on tomorrow.
Awesome.
Again.
Thank you for tuning in and calling. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. Let us know how you go.
Okay. Bye.
Where are we off to next? Let's go to, we've got another old ones. Yeah, we still got time. Doing good. Old ones, another ones. The one standing in the wind tunnel or the traffic, that would be you. What's your first name? Where are you calling in from?
That would be air conditioning, which I'm grateful that I have. I just turned it off for this special moment. And my name is Opulence. I'm calling from heaven. And you're
hi, Opulence.
Hi. Your partner's, what you said about the ego being the void, that rang a strong bell. I like that. I like that concept.
Yeah.
Gave me a whole new perspective of the void. And I thank you for your information in regard to the ego. And my question is, I would like to hear from my future self.
From your future self. I love that.
Thank you.
Give me a topic and I'll tap in and see what happens.
Creativity.
So the first thing that was like screaming at me is go outside. It's hot, but yeah, go outside. You're most inspired outside. That's what I keep hearing, outside, outside, outside. So, and what I see is like greenery and trees and like this beautiful nature. It feels
actually,
like it's like
a lot, like dense.
I'm in
stuff,
that environment
so.
Right now.
Okay.
I just stepped out into that environment, so you got me.
So what I get is, like, that's where you, like, thrive creatively. Like, you just feel different when you're experiencing being in nature and being one with nature is when you feel most fluid in your creativity.
Hmm. Yes,
and I keep getting
like
making
ahead.
Sure you're hydrated. So I don't know if that's related or if that's just extra stuff from your future self is making sure you're getting enough to drink. I keep getting like water, water, water. So I don't know if you aren't getting enough fluids or if that's something for your future is to make sure you continue to hydrate. So that's another thing that's like screaming at me is make sure you're getting enough hydration.
Okay, I can accept that and do that.
It's even showing me, like, moisturizing your skin, drinking lots of water. Like, it's showing, like, all of it. Moisturize. So going outside, moisturizing. Let me see what else.
Interesting. I'm going to
give
add another.
Give yourself love before you're giving it to everyone else. So, like, make sure you fill your cup before you fill other people so that you have enough to give because you like to try to do it the opposite direction or the opposite way. It's to, like, fill everyone else's cup and then you get drained. But I'm getting, like, fill your own cup. And then what, you don't even have to, like, go out of your way to fill other people's because you're overflowing with enough to give.
That is interesting. I have been told that more than I care to mention. And I know that I have worked on it and believe that I had overcome that. So with that said, in what areas am I not doing as much for myself as I can?
I'm just asking.
Besides water. Besides the water and the moisturizing.
It just
the
keeps
water
showing me
real.
Your heart. So I don't know if it's like heart health or if it's like love life or if it's just, I don't, it just keeps showing me like a heart shape and then pointing to your chest. Like it's definitely your heart, like undeniably. Pay attention to what your heart wants or maybe what, look closely at your love life or where do you need to love yourself more? Are you accepting of yourself completely? Those are the things I would look at with that interpretation.
Completely not yet. I haven't mastered that yet. So, to be honest. But I'm sure
have
I'm not alone. Not that I was going to say, I'm sure I'm not alone. I'm sure, you know, not that that matters for my personal situation. But, yeah, that message is, you know, so I will continue to master that within myself.
So what else comes up? Sorry. And then what else I keep hearing is that you need to accept love. That's what it is. It's like you are supposed to accept more love. Like you give a lot of love, but you're not accepting love. Because I was asking what else is there to this message. And it says for you to accept it because you give it freely. But you don't always accept other people when they give it to you. It's like, oh, no, I'm good. I'm good. You keep it.
Okay.
So it's not an even exchange.
Okay. I'll look into that.
Are you letting
that.
People love you?
I would like to say yes, but maybe not enough. I'm not sure on that. So that's something that I will meditate on. Interesting.
I love how willing you are and how you're just so wanting to do the work and really get there. I really appreciate that about you.
Thank you. But, you know, what better can I do for myself but keep striving to give myself the best? Because that's really
exactly
what it's all about. And you were talking about going outside, and like I said, I'm in that environment. I live in that environment. But I have been wanting to go to the botanical garden, and it's been so hot. I mean, I wanted to go this week. It's been so hot that it's just not.
Could you go in the early morning or in the evening? Because your body's like, please. That's why you want to so bad.
I probably could go in the early morning. I just have to get up. And I'm up at that hour to be able to drive the distance to get there early before it gets too hot. I probably could.
There
you go. I hadn't considered
going
that early, but yeah. And then go someplace and cool off for a few hours and come back and get the rest of the day. Yeah, so, yeah, when the rainy spell gets over in the next few days, yeah, thank you for that. Because I love
it.
You're welcome. I love it where I am, but the botanical gardens, I must say, is far, far.
That's what I'm saying. It looks super lush, super beautiful, super, like, full of just life, like beautiful gardening. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's what's been calling me. Yeah, for my creativity. It's like stepping into another world, and it's free.
Could you bring something with you to jot down or to draw or paint or whatever as you're there? Would that be a possibility?
Of course.
Yeah, I would do that.
Of course. That's, yes, and my camera. And yeah, I will be doing that. We have 5 days of rain coming, and after they're over, then it's going to be even more lush because the rains are going to make it more beautiful. Thank you for that early morning, because I'm up at that hour to do it, and I just...
You can make a whole day of it.
Yes, I'm going to do that. I thank you, and I will give myself more love. I claim it now. I receive it from internal and external. I will allow people to love me and honor me and appreciate me. More and more and more and more. I'm ready. I deserve it. I'm worthy. And thank you. Thank you for being
here.
Yes, I have
ma'am.
A big smile on my face. And I appreciate you connecting with her. And I'll go get me some water right now. And namaste. Namaste.
Thank you, Opulence. I love talking to you. Thanks. You have a good evening.
Thank you. I shall.
All right.
You.
Let us know how it goes. Okay. And there goes my voice. It is gone. Let's see if we can get it back for one more call. 781. 781. There we are. What's your first name? Where are you calling in from?
Hi, Nicole. It's Anne from Boston.
Oh, and I regular caller.
Hi, Anne.
Hello.
Hi.
Can I do for you today?
I would. I hope this will be just a quick question. I'm on a healing journey, and of course I'm not succeeding. I just wonder what my higher self is going to let me know what I should do and what I shouldn't do.
Yeah, let me just tap in. Dan, give me just a second. Let's Your energy is so interesting. It's like anxious but welcoming at the same time.
Yep. That sounds right.
Yeah. It's like, okay, come on in. I mean, hold on just a sec. Okay, come on in. It's funny because the vision that I kept getting with opulence was like a vivid greenery and like lush, beautiful flowering plants. And what I see for you is immediately was ocean and like the sea and the waves.
Yep.
And
I live in it. I'm here in the middle of it. That's my environment.
And it's like I was going to say you're surrounded in this, and that's what like lends you this like. It definitely lends to your healing. I don't even know the words for that, except that it's definitely healing for you to be in that environment. Are you receiving alternative therapies or anything? I keep getting like alternative therapies, and that's like such a good thing for you. Like you love it, and your body loves it. Your soul is eating it up. Like keep on doing that. And if you're not, do that.
I am.
Awesome. I feel like, are you on like an herbs or supplement regimen or something? Like there's something you do every day?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, I feel like there's something that you can modify a little bit. Are you seeing like someone who's overseeing that or no?
No.
No. Do you have someone that could oversee what you're doing and make little changes?
I don't know. I don't know if that would be available to me. I used to, but
something,
not now.
Like a holistic practitioner, like a acupuncture physician, naturopath, someone that does like very natural type healing and therapies. Does that make sense?
Yeah, if it's available.
I feel like you need someone with a lot of knowledge. Okay.
Okay.
To kind of look over what you're doing daily. And I feel like it's one little thing that you could change and that would make like a huge difference for you. And it's like, I'm asking, like, what? And they're like, oh, she just needs to see someone so they can oversee it. So I don't know if it needs something that's going to be changing over time or, you know, that's what it feels
available.
Like.
I will have to travel a bit, but the person has a place called Mustard Seed. Is that one appropriate?
That would do, but I feel like it's someone else. I feel like it's somebody new.
Okay.
Are you open to that?
Oh, yes.
Okay, good. That would be okay, but I feel like this is a different person than people.
I had a traditional Chinese medicine herbalist I saw a few years ago. I wonder if I should revisit her.
That feels good, but it doesn't have to be that particular person. I feel like it might even be someone completely different. Like it feels new, like someone you haven't had before.
Okay.
I feel like the other one could get you on the right track, but this other person is going to be able to like look what you have and be like, oh, you know what? Try this. And that's going to be like the thing.
Okay.
I feel like it's going to have something to do with like your energy, your vitality, like having more, like just feeling. Energy is not the word. More alert. Does that make sense?
I know
like
what
it feels
you mean.
Like almost like you're in a fog or something, and it feels like you're like clear.
Makes
and
a
then,
lot of sense.
Because it doesn't feel like it's like, oh yeah, bouncing around energy. It feels like I can actually see better. I can, like, I just feel better. I feel clear. That's what it feels like.
There's another possibility. It would be a little bit of traveling to see someone involved with Delta Gardens.
I got a yes for that.
Okay.
I don't know what that is, but I got a yes for that.
Okay. Is it my friend or do I have to travel?
I get that it's not like something you have to travel for. It's not like you have to go like travel for this. It's like readily available to you.
Okay.
It's just
so
an
it
avenue
probably
you
is my
explore
friend.
Yet.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh,
could
so it isn't my
very
friend.
Well be yes. Well, it's not someone who has treated you in that capacity before.
Okay.
If it's just
that
strictly
working.
Your friend, you could revisit that.
Okay.
Is that helpful?
I think so.
Okay, good. do you have any more questions around that particular subject, or do you feel
pretty complete? I guess that's the main one. It's just I'll have to hunt it down, and I may come back just to double check. I don't know. I'll have to hunt it down because I've had a few possibilities, and nothing's worked so far. But I don't know if an accident, I have exasperated my condition.
I don't feel like you've made anything worse. I feel like you're on a pretty good regimen. It's like there's something that you're just missing. You know what I mean? Like there's like a little tweak you could do and it would make all the difference. And I feel like you're going to find that. And I would love to know how it goes for you. So let us know.
Yes. Definitely.
And on that note, sorry, Ann, to jump in there, but we're past the top of the tippy top. So we've got to rush into some quick shameless self-promotion. What have you got for us today?
Well, if you would love to have like a one-on-one hour-long session with me, please contact me at newsforthesoul.com. Look for Chrissy and then Soul Awakening. You'll find links there to our website, and you can book a session and find out more about what we're bringing forth for everyone like you guys. And I look forward to meeting you on an even more personal level. And thank you for Nicole. Thank you, Nicole, for having me on monthly.
Yeah, it was interesting today. Oh, my goodness. We had a few challenges. We hopscotched around them. Yay. So all good and looking forward to next time. Be well. And apologies to the callers we didn't get to. Call in next time. And we have more open lines actually today at 2 p.m. Pacific if you want a channeled reading. All right. Chrissy, we'll see you later.
All right, thank you.
All right, bye. This is all linked up at newsforthesoul.com. We're back right after this.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.